time to talk about the terrible taint of Mazrim Taim. Come, join us for a talented taste of the taint of which that will tantalize your tonsils.
Stop it, V. Or should I say T?
Black Tower Podcast coming at you tonight. I just jumped right into it tonight.
Yeah, no, that was great.
That was it.
Actually, that was, I was there one. For it.
You're fine. Everybody was into it. You teased what the episode is about without spoiling anything. You know,
right?
Off course, the user.
It was a terrible tease.
It was.
All right, now get the fuck out. Get out. Turn to
and it
your
gets
immediate
more terrible
left.
Every
find
time
the door
you do it.
And walk through
it's,
it. Don't
it's
open
the
it.
Black Tower
just
Podcast.
Just walk straight through the door.
We are the Black Tower Podcast. We're the Tainted Boys. Thank you for tuning in. That was not on purpose. That was thank you for tuning in.
Are we the Tainted Trio?
Dose of taint from your Tainted Trio.
We are
trio.
The Tainted Trio.
Oh, you know
a couple
me.
More brewskis and there'll be a Tainted Trio. I tell you what.
You know me, me and both
my hands, let me tell you.
Hey.
You know me as your Zora Van Mihail. Josh,
you know me as that guy with the beard sometimes you see on the internet, but I am the Bajan Mahal, your Bajan Mahal, here just to Bajan your Mahals, Andrew.
Ooh.
Clever.
Ooh. And
really, because it sounded super dumb as I said it.
No, that was I liked that a lot. That did not sound super dumb. And super anyone dumb. Who says otherwise, I will fight. And I am your Amon Khan Mihail. You will also know me from around the internet from our tainty TikTok, which we have now.
Hey guys, we have also seen this face on You Are the Weakest Link.
Correct.
It's true.
I had our very own beard, celebrity. This one's actually coming in pretty nicely.
It is.
Happy it's with this one.
Do you have beard oil already?
I do, yes. So I will. It's just about to the point where it actually feels like it will start needing it. And by needing it,
well,
I
the
mean,
beard oil
like,
isn't for the beard.
Yeah,
itself,
it's for the skin for the underneath. Skin. But yeah.
But if you start it early on, like you're helping promote good yeah. hair follicle growth.
It'll be healthier growth. That's true. So we're the black.
But you know what
podcast.
Else is a fantastic tease?
Well, and that's just where
BlackTowerPod.com.
I think we're going to the same place. Oh, BlackTowerPod.com.
To the website where you can find all the fantastic merch and
totally.
Discord and except a link to join our Patreon so that you can listen to all the random stuff.
Andrew,
early.
Andrew, the website doesn't have our OnlyTeens on it. So it's less teasing.
Because you got to pay to play.
Yeah. No, to get the link. For our OnlyTeens,
that's right.
You got to know the magic.
That's how we're affording our yacht. Other people just mooch off of the estate of Robert Jordan, as some reviewers have said, completely erroneously. And we started OnlyTeens. So
that's right.
All of the brown-eyed starfish you could ever want in one convenient mobile app.
You heard it here first, folks.
You heard it here, folks. First.
Folks first.
I like that more. BlackTowerPod.com for all of our stuff. There's a running playlist of our 5 most recent YouTube videos, as well as like however many Podbean puts up of our most recent audio only episodes. Of course, you can find us on Podbean as well and any other podcast app that you choose to use for those of you that prefer the Cavern of Sin that is Apple Podcasting because it's owned by Apple. But you know, I'm gonna get an email. Your podcast has been removed from Apple Podcast.
Hey,
but
we
yes,
haven't
you can
been
find us anywhere you can find
from
that.
Or we haven't been contacted by Amazon yet, and we've said way more things about fucking Jeff Bezos. So I'm pretty sure that they don't care about us.
I mean, there was the time that we made all the jokes about Disney, and then I got a cease, like a cease and desist from
but
my
that was
internet.
A different right. thing.
Oh, yeah, it was different. It was my own stupidity and somebody taking advantage of it. But
here's
I didn't do anything wrong, but I left an unsecured wireless network up. Yes. So anybody that works in IT or just has like a modicum of internet knowledge knows
is already shaking their heads at you.
So the cool thing is, and I just put the screenshot in the chat, the live chat. Alvaro Muerte, who plays Loghain Ablar, on his Instagram did a reshare, and on there he used Dragon Swarm. And I thought that was super cool, and I was super happy with that. So this is also your reminder, if you want your Dragon Swarm merch, go to our merch shop in Spreadshirt. We've got a whole selection of Dragon Swarm merch. Yep. You can be a Dragon Swarm.
Random aside, I wonder how many times, spoilers for Wheel of Time TV show episode 4, season 1, but I wonder how many times Kate Fleetwood accidentally said Loghain Ibarra instead of, you know, his actual last name. I hope it was at least once.
I hope it happened.
Anyway, I on the topic, well. On the topic of Podbean, so we all love the Wheel of Time. We love talking about the Wheel of Time, watching and absorbing anything that is the Wheel of Time. But sometimes it's very beneficial and sometimes just enjoyable to take a break from the Wheel of Time for a moment and listen to anything else super nerdy or interesting. And we've been fortunate enough to be in contact with and do some cross promotion here with another fantastic podcast that can satisfy that overall just need of nerdiness that you could possibly have. So we're going to play their podcast trailer real quick. Definitely go ahead and check these guys out. Here's the podcast trailer for the Online Warriors podcast.
Hi, everyone. I'm Nerd Bomber.
And I'm Tectic. And we're two of the hosts of the Online Warriors podcast.
Our podcast started as a way for three best friends to keep in touch and discuss their nerdy hobbies like movies, gaming, tech, and more.
Since then, we've grown into a great community. Every Wednesday, we chat about the latest nerdy news before getting hands-on with our weekly nerdy adventures.
And don't forget our high-stakes trivia game. Come join the fun at OnlineWarriorsPodcast.com and every major podcast platform. And now, back to the show.
Which is our show.
That was actually really well done. I'm
oh, yeah. I'm They're fantastic. I've listened to a couple of their episodes.
I feel
episodes
like we need to redo everything. Ours now.
No, we just need to throw fine. On the Home Improvement song. Or not Home Improvement, the Home Depot song behind our...
There you go. Cover,
and it'll be perfect. It'll be exactly the same thing.
But yeah, go over, check out Tectic, Ill Eagle 86, and Nerd Bomber over on Online Warriors Podcast. Let them know the Black Tower Podcast sent you. And just enjoy it. They've covered things from Dead Space, Stranger Things, Disney actor lawsuits, a bunch of things, Marvel. And they've done episodes on the Wheel of Time as well.
Because the Disney actor lawsuit seems like it would take a week.
I don't know.
I love you, Disney. You're actually they also did a couple.
It only shows one, but they talk
you've
about
been around for a really long time, and you have a number of lawsuits on here.
So, they talk about nerd stuff from all over. They're three IRL friends. For those of you that aren't familiar with internet jargon, it's in real life, meaning that they were friends before they started all this. Tectic is an engineer. Ill Eagle is a PhD student, and Nerd Bomber is just an overall, in general, nerd. That is their self descriptions on the website.
So it's
which is also
Andrew
hosted by Podbean.
Is an engineer. Josh is a PhD student, and Daniel's just an overall nerd. We're sure, almost the same podcast, except that we do just Wheel of Time. We very specify our nerdom.
But yeah, go check them out. They're fantastic folks. They do a fantastic show. And they're actually, as far as podcasting goes, our seniors. They've been around since 2017. So
nice.
Go check them out.
Podcast me more, Daddy.
Cast me harder.
But we're here to talk about the Wheel of Time. And one of the people that has worked very hard and is very happy to allow us to continue to talk about the Wheel of Time and even donates the time of her significant other to this podcast is the Crystal Barista. Anything hot on the fire for Crystal Barista, Josh?
I mean, there's always shit that's hot on the fire for the Crystal Barista.
I know it's the holiday season, so it's super
we
busy.
Just finished off Black Friday, and the Crystal Barista has finally hired someone else on there. And now there are two people, and both of this is how busy Black Friday weekend has been. There are two people officially working at the Crystal Barista, and they are each working like 12 to 18 hour days. Jesus. It is insane.
Yeah.
They're packing every order by hand. They're making sure they get it out. And if you're listening to this and you need a gift for Christmas and you are worried that you're not going to be able to find something that will be guaranteed by Christmas, you can contact the Crystal Barista. She has inventory on hand. This is not stock that she's waiting to receive. This is inventory on hand. So if you order it off of her website or off of her Facebook, it will get there for Christmas.
If you order it, it will come.
Yes. And your support of the Crystal Barista, at least indirectly, helps support the Black Tower podcast. Especially if you say, hey, yeah, Black Tower podcast sent me here. And then she's like, oh, wow, Josh, it's actually helping me.
Go ahead and do another you show. Get 30 honey.
Extra seconds this episode. But enough of the promos, enough of the plugs. As fantastic as they all are, because we love everybody that we work with and partner with and everybody that is willing to tolerate our tainty taints.
Andrew, fuck you. But that was hilarious.
It actually really was.
But
anyway, sorry.
What are we talking about today, Josh? What precisely is the topic?
Specifically, like the nature of the topic. We are talking about madness. We are talking about taint. And we are talking about the taint of Mazrim Tahim.
I just, when you started that, I just immediately got a flash of Kenan Thompson on What Up With That. We talking about madness. We talking about taint. We talking about this and that and this. And I was just like, Jesus, why? But yeah, no, that's accurate. Josh,
no, so this is our actual thing. For this episode, about. We have a question that we're trying to answer. Daniel, do you know what that question is?
That is correct. But before we get into that, because we are
We have to spoiler warning it, don't we?
You do actually know sort of who Mazrim Tahim is from book one. So we haven't really done anything yet. But before we do, we want to go ahead and put on our spoiler condom so that when we jam this topic into you, it doesn't get you Wheel of Time pregnant.
This is your official spoiler warning. This episode contains spoilers for all 14 books and the prequel. If you're still listening and you haven't read all these, you want to be spoiled, don't you? You crave it. Getting spoiled without putting in the work? Well, get ready. Here it comes.
Okay. That was spicy.
That was.
Well, you know what that reminds me of?
I think that's the second friendly time neighborhood. We've ever heard that one. And I think I might be harder the second time.
Do you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of when you're like 13 and you're watching TV at like 3 a.m. trying Jesus, to see some boobs.
When the phone sex
and all those phone sex line commercials come on and they're like, just call us right now at 1-900-WET-LEGS. And you're like, oh, I'm a dumbass kid. Hell yeah.
Well, my favorite part is I don't think those are on anymore. I legitimately are they? Okay. I haven't actually watched like real TV.
There's a lot of,
but I was pretty sure that those were not
older, on. Like millennial generation people and older that still watch like regular TV programming. Yeah.
As well, you should. I mean, I don't think I've actually had cable for a long
time. Older people like millennials. Woo!
No, I said like elder millennials.
Like he did.
They're right at the start of the millennial generation where you still remember what a landline is.
85.
And you've actually seen it. You've touched it. You've tasted it because the cord always got in your mouth.
Dude, that was like one of the weirdest things. It was always a like need. as you were talking on the phone, if you were doing it
like
long
playing
enough,
with the cord,
at
and you're
some
like,
point you would go ahead and wrap yourself in the cord, and at some point it would end up in your mouth. I don't know why.
And we have the nerve to make fun of animals for chewing on power cords. Like, ha, you dumbass.
Dude, or to make fun of kids for like chewing on filthy things. You're like,
all right, Sigmund Freud, like calm it down. Keep your Sigmund on the on the way
tonight.
They have the.
We're talking not about Freudian slips and Daniel.
We're talking about Mazrim Taim.
In fact, and we do actually have a question that is.
We ask ourselves the question.
We are actually specifying this discussion not necessarily just about, you know, who Mazrim Taim is or what he did or why he does the things he does, blah, blah, blah. We actually have a question that we want to answer. And that is, was Mazrim Taim, as we know him in the series, ever savable? Because as we know, just real quick about his history, he starts out and we first hear about him as a false dragon in Saldea. He does relatively well, though not quite as well as Loghain, and certainly not as well as Rand. He does end up going ahead and getting captured and then escaping.
Yes.
Joining in on the sort of Rand bandwagon, starting the Black Tower. And then teaching a bunch of men at the Black Tower that can channel about different things and ending up getting corrupted either before he even starts or somewhere along the way and turning Ashaman to the shadow before eventually becoming entirely embroiled in the shadow himself, basically becoming a new Forsaken or no, he is. He is a new
absolutely
Forsaken.
Becoming a new Forsaken.
He is a Dreadlord, but he is even higher than that. He is actually a new sort of third age Forsaken.
Well, and he even has aspirations of being Nayblis.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Like he's there. He's Forsaken.
Yeah, he's in it to win it. And then of course he goes,
have the yachts.
But yeah, he goes into the last battle very much on the side of the shadow, very much against the light. He does actually fairly well as a Forsaken with the help of his dreadlords, some that had turned willingly and some that they had turned unwillingly to the shadow, and then ends up getting killed in the last battle. But yeah, all of that. So that's just a really quick history. We can absolutely talk about other aspects of that in this episode. I'm sure they will come up. But that's sort of a really quick history of who Mazrim Taim is in the books. And the question that we are looking for is, throughout all of that, was there a point that he was corrupted? Was he always corrupted? Was there ever a chance for him to come back to the light? Had someone done X, or had someone done Y, or whatever the case may be, also known as I said, was Mazrim Taim ever actually savable, or was his entire journey always fated to end as a pawn of the shadow?
Yeah, and I think part of the place to start this discussion, because we have the same discussions about like serial killers and people that commit crimes en masse, like where did things go wrong? Has there always been an issue with them or something that causes this or whatever? So we don't know anything about Mazrim Taim's birth or anything. We just know that he is Saldan. We know that in 998 NE, he declares himself the Dragon Reborn and he burns, a fairly large portion, actually, not most, but almost most of Saldea, and almost defeated Davram Bashir, one of the five great captains, almost defeated Davram Bashir. But due to the visions in Falma, he falls off his horse and is subsequently captured.
Mm-hmm.
And from then, it's seeking freedom, seeking escape. And he doesn't just like happenstance come to Rand. Because if you declare yourself the Dragon Reborn, you're not going to willingly just come up and be like, oh, I'm going to serve this guy. I mean, it, in the story, like, there's a mechanism for it, obviously. But he doesn't come to Rand just because, like, oh, I recognize him as the true Dragon Reborn or anything like this. It's all to gain the advantage of Rand's amnesty for male channelers. Mm-hmm. It is him showing up, saying, I'm a man that can channel, and I can teach others to channel. I can work and make you better. All while he's seeking protection and an escape from the crimes he's committed and an opportunity to still seek out glory. So I think at that point, he is willing to accept a lesser glory, because at this point, he does realize that he is not actually the Dragon Reborn.
Well, and of course, there are two things about that that are really important about sort of Mazrim Taim's journey. Is number one, he was not able to go ahead and do the or fulfill the prophecies that Rand has. So yeah, I think that he really does recognize that he isn't. And number two, he shows up and he actually has a skill that Rand has not learned yet. And that is detecting other men who can channel.
I really should have worn my Focus on the Flame shirt for this one. Right? But,
that would have been appropriate.
You know, it's getting cold here. We had our first true frost last night, and I didn't want to poke someone's eye out over YouTube.
Fair enough.
You know, because it's a white shirt.
I'm okay with poking eyes out.
Well, yours are below the bottom frame of the camera.
So. Correct. That's why I'm leaving them. I'm leaving them at a safe distance. I can see them a little.
Do you know? Okay, so what I love about...
Oh, they actually are hard.
When we talk about Taim, that's why I wore a jacket tonight, so you guys couldn't...
Well, yours are also below frame, so you're keeping yours a safe distance as well.
I'm double protected. Yep. So the thing I like about Taim, you know, people...
Also, hold on just a second. I do also love this right here, where Andrew is the highest, and he's like up here in frame, and then you've got me.
Hit him so fucking high right now.
Like, it's just, especially if you have yours ordered this way, like I do, you've got
Andrew. My screen isn't wide enough for that, Mr. 49 inches.
I'm not 49 inches. Oh, you meant the monitor. Okay, cool.
Yes. I feel like you being 49 inches would be more of a curse than it would be any kind of.
Oh, it absolutely would. Can you imagine?
Like, you just barely glance at a Victoria's Secret catalog and then just pass out from blood loss.
Anyway, what I love about Taim's story is that there's so little of it, but so much of what he does is so impactful and happens off screen that it makes the perfect case for the Black Tower spinoff TV series, which is totally going to happen. But he's just one of those characters that's so... I mean, okay, at first glance... He serves to be a bit of a dick. Like, that's kind of how he is. He has a purpose.
At first glance?
Just a spot of dick.
He serves to be a dick.
He does what he says he would do. He fulfills his promise to Rand. He founds the Black Tower. He recruits aggressively enough to match the numbers of the White Tower. And
surpass.
And surpass, like, by far, by the end of the story, by far.
I mean, but he does a lot of stuff very Aes Sedai-like. He follows what Rand wants only so much as to say he satisfies the letter of what Rand wants.
Yes.
And like Morshadi pointed out, like, Brandon confirms that Taim is recruited by one of the Forsaken. And
yes,
I think it would be ludicrous to assume that, you know, our lovely kind of spaced out there Dashiva wasn't directly involved in that.
Oh, I'm pretty sure Dashiva
find myself mentally blanking on which Forsaken Dashiva actually was.
But that's the thing is even
who the fuck was Dashiva?
Dropping dropping that in there and saying, you know, the Forsaken recruited him, so it was after he was at the Black Tower.
That was Osengar. So that was the reincarnated Aghanor.
Mm-hmm. And we don't know when that happened. But the character is written so well that he starts out as a dick. He comes to Rand. Yes, he's not proclaiming himself the Dragon Reborn anymore, but he's still an ambitious bastard. And he still recognizes that his best chance is with this other guy who's the Dragon Reborn. And he can still, like you were saying, Aes Sedai the shit out of some power and some glory and carve out his own little slice of authority and build on it there. But as far as like, when did he become a dark friend? What was the nature of his madness? When was that? God, that's real difficult.
Well, the other question becomes, is he actually mad?
Yeah. Part of what we also have to remember is for a while, a not insignificant portion of the writing of the series, Robert Jordan was tossing with the idea of having Taim be Demandrin.
Yep.
And right. I forgot exactly at what point, but it came to a point where Robert Jordan was just like, okay, no, he's not going to be Demondred. I'm going to throw Demondred in.
This is the point where I have to make the decision. Yeah. I can't flirt with it anymore. I can't do anything. And if I'm being completely and utterly honest, I think that might have had something to do with why Demondred is actually mysteriously missing.
Yeah.
Is the fact that I think that Robert Jordan actually had, I'm probably going to say like three, maybe four characters that all could have been Demandred in disguise. Cause he does that with so many other Forsaken, is makes, you know, them Forsaken in disguise. But I think that's again one of the reasons that Demandred ends up being surprisingly absent from a bunch of events, is that he was always leaving the door open for Demandred to be Taim, to be this person, to be that person, and then eventually went, you know what, I actually don't like any of them actually being Demandred. None of them are Demandred. Demandred's fucking elsewhere. And I love that and also hate it at the same time, because like so many signs are there that he's Taim, and then all of a sudden he just ends up being in Shara and you're just like, fuck you.
I think it's less about him leaving the door open and more about a perfect storm. He's in a situation where he's ambitious. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be the Dragon Reborn. God, his ego was wounded severely when it come to find out he was not the Dragon Reborn.
Oh yeah.
He, you know, Rand talks about in their first interactions where Taim is like, yeah, we're equals. And Rand is like, no, we're not. And Taim is like, yes, we are. I only will do this if I'm your equal. And Rand is like, listen here, bitch, I am the Dragon Reborn. Period. We're done with this conversation. And then every time Rand has to ask him for something, like when Rand has to ask him, hey, show me how to test someone, mm-hmm. to see if they can channel, Taim is smug about it. He's like, oh, does my Lord Dragon Reborn does not know how to do this? And every time Rand does something, even innocently, even like presenting the pins, you know, and ranking system, he says, look, these are the soldiers, these are the dedicated, these are the Ashaman. Hey, look, everybody, I am bestowing the rank of Ashaman upon Taim. He is the first Ashaman of this age, and he will lead you to Tarmangaiden, and you guys are awesome. And then they walk into the back room, and Taim is pissed. Mm. He is not happy about it. And Rand is like, bro, I just like solidified your authority with everybody right now.
I honored the shit out of you in front of the entire Black
Tower. And Taim is like, fuck you. You son of a bitch. And then later on, what does Taim do, though, to take that back? He invents the rank of Mihail.
Right.
It's so petty and snippy, but brilliant. Well, and
of course, I will admit that I don't know. It's one of the things that we never actually know. And I like the mystery because I always like mystery. But I also don't love this particular mystery, because I would kind of like to know, is who actually came up with the name the Black Tower? Who actually came up with the Mahales? Because if it was just the other Ashaman at the farm who start calling it the Black Tower, and Taim goes, fuck it, I like that. We're just going to call ourselves the Black Tower because I could squash this, but I'm not going to because I like it. That is very different than if Taim walks in and he goes, we're going to start calling ourselves the Black Tower. Everybody, spread the word. We're calling ourselves the Black Tower. You call me the Mahale. Not this Ashaman shit that the Dragon Reborn brought us. I mean, sure, you're Ashaman. I don't give a fuck. But I'm not the first Ashaman. I'm the Mahale. You call me the Mahale. This guy,
I am a leader of Ashaman. Mahale.
This guy, he's the Bijan Mahale. You guys fucking call us by our names. Like, because that is so much more petty and so much more dickish than, like, if the Ashaman started coming to him and being like, Mahale. And he was like, okay, yeah, sure.
That's he even fun. Uses like he that. Even uses the old tongue. He's like, it's the old tongue,
right?
It's more bougie yeah. that way.
So to address Sorry. A point yeah, real true. Quick, because Morshadi pulled up one of the snippets where it was an interview from from Dragon Con where someone yes. named Isabel asked Robert Jordan about Tyandrin, and it is true that Robert Jordan in interviews has categorically denied ever considering them to potentially be the same person.
Correct.
However, there seems to be a fair bit of evidence that suggests that that's not necessarily true. There are people that have gotten glimpses at a lot of Robert Jordan's notes, and a lot of what's referenced for this is box 55, a file entitled People, where Robert Jordan wrote on page 15 about the Mandred that he hated, feared, and despised Lustarin. Like Lanfear, he plays for larger stakes than most of the others who are trying to stake out worldly kingdoms. He will show up claiming to be Mazrim Taim, taking advantage of Rand's amnesty. Also in box 55, there's a file dedicated to Rand. On page 34, that file, the paragraph appears twice in the notes on Dumai's Wells. So it is fair to mention that at this point, that there were portions of Lord of Chaos already written. However, it does seem that Robert Jordan was at least seriously entertaining or dealing with the thought of Taim and Demandred being the same person, that Taim would be what do they call it? The AKA. What is the actual term for that? Whenever you go by a different name and
a nom de plume.
That's not the one I was thinking of. I thought there was a regular English word for that. Alias. There you go.
Alias. Sure.
The base of this would be an alias for Demandred. So well, also, it's just one of those interesting things. And it almost like makes it super interesting that in public that because it wasn't just Robert Jordan that was like, no, I was surprised by the thought. Because it might have been something that by the time he was answering these questions that he had already said, no, I'm not going to do that. And he thought that it lined up well enough because in his original notes, it was also indicated that potentially it was Demandred that killed Asmodee. But he changed that to Grendel because Grendel lined up better. Grendel had all the right motivation, was in the potentially right place and all of this kind of stuff. So it just becomes interesting that the Robert Jordan and Harriet and Maria and everybody else are like, yeah, no, this wasn't something he was doing, but there is evidence out there that points to it. Now, of course, to my knowledge, there's no place you can go and just look at Robert Jordan's notes. There used to be some websites where you could, like blogs.cofc.edu/the true source. It is no longer a thing that exists. When you go there, you get a WordPress error that the site no longer exists. But there seems to be too many calls to specific pages and paragraphs and consistent references to pages and paragraphs by numerous people. And I'm not going to reference one of the people involved.
Sure.
You can go and look it up on your own and determine if it is the same person you think I if it is the same person, If you think it is the same person that I think it is, Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus Christ.
It's not Jesus
Christ. But so it does seem to be very much a thing, and it lines up so well with the story of Taim and with the story of Devondred, and it explains a ton of why, like we talked about earlier, because I'm not going to lie, a lot of this I was looking and reading while you guys were talking, and I half heard half of what you said. I'll be bluntly honest with that.
What else is new, Andrew?
I mean, that's true. Like, half the time when you guys talk, I just kind of zone out.
Daniel and Josh over here. No, you're fucking wrong, you stupid asshole. And Andrew's over here like,
oh no, after about like the first like 10 minutes of the lecture, I just zone out. I love you. Don't hate me.
Okay. So we've talked a lot about the different aspects of Taim. We've talked about a number of different things about him, but we haven't actually gotten our opinions on when it happens, whether he is, and whether and what we think that turning point could have been. So I actually want to get back to sort of the nuts and bolts of this discussion. Because again, this was always inevitably going to be part of this discussion. Sure. We were absolutely going to be talking about this. There's not even actually, I think, an hour and a half or even maybe an hour worth of discussion if you just ask the question and we take some time to answer it. But I do want to get back to the specific topic of this.
You're going off script. We're supposed to clickbait everybody that we're actually going to talk about the question and never do it.
And then never, no, or
that's what,
or
that's what sum Amazon it up in the last 30 seconds to do.
So,
because so, you know, wait, obviously, what? Anybody that likes the show was bought by Amazon.
Oh, that's right.
Right.
So, sorry, Andrew, that's a different taint. Sorry.
I want to actually ask you sort of and take as long as you want to answer this. There's no limit on it or anything, but sort of those three questions in some ways.
No, there is. You have until 9:30 Eastern to answer the question.
And you can go into it as deep as you want. You can go into, you know, whatever as deep as you want, tangents, all of that different stuff. We are the Black Tower podcast. That's fucking what we do. But the sort of three questions are, when do you actually think that Taim... Actually, I guess these are two different questions that are sort of your answer to this, which is number one, was there ever a point... Sorry, let me rephrase. Throughout the story, was Taim savable? If yes, when was that point, and or what do you think would have needed to happen to actually make that the case, that Mazrim Taim could have ended up on the side of the light?
Okay.
If the answer to was Mazrim Taim ever savable? If the answer is no, at what point do you feel like that solidified? That was 100% true, and Mazrim Taim was too far gone, and there was basically nothing that could have been done. So those are sort of the two branches.
I have a clarifying question.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are we operating off of the idea that Taim was always entirely his own character, or that he was for a point Devondred?
Always his own time.
Let's assume that even though, as we've talked about, canonical. Robert Jordan was keeping the door open. You know, there are way too many things that you can point to that means that I don't think Robert Jordan ever closed that door and then was fully surprised when people were comparing them, but let's
the more I think about the question, it's an obvious answer, because if he actually was Devondred, then it's not even a question.
I think it's good to specify though.
I agreed. So let's go from the standpoint that Mazrim Taim is always his own person, and he's never
Taim is a strong independent asshole, and he don't need no Devondred.
Exactly. Bingo. Yeah.
So okay. So I will say yes. There is a chance.
First.
Oh, go Andrew. Sorry.
I love you, Josh.
Oh no, go ahead.
Specifically, actually, ask Andrew first.
Can I allow Josh to go first since he's
no? Nope.
That's fine.
No, you cannot yield the time back to the chairman.
You're not the chairman.
We're all Daniel's sitting the chairman.
Man.
Hey. Okay. I will say yes. I believe that Taim is savable, but based on the premise that, you know, In all these situations, no man is so far gone to the dark that he cannot be brought back to the light. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to operate heavily on that. However, wow, that was low. Wow. That was low, even for you.
I mean, at least I could have called you Valda.
You could have. Woo. But in order for that to happen, I think that one of the lessons that we learn in the Wheel of Time is seen like but largely unacknowledged. And what is it they say from book one when they meet Min? And Min is like, you and him all need to stay together. Like, the fate of the world rests on you three. And if you three are not united, you will fail and everything is going to go to shit.
Mm-hmm.
You will fail.
I mean, Robert Jordan weaves please that message
fail,
in.
Please, please don't
so
fail.
So deftly and so subtly. But guys, no one does it on their own. No one does. Taim's success as the false dragon and going up against Davron Bashir and his military campaigns and all those things, his success happened because he had people with him who were loyal to him and who helped steer him in the right direction, advised him and helped steer him in the right direction. What happened when he went to the Black Tower? When he went to Rand, he was alone. He had nobody there with him. So he goes to the farm where there's like three guys out there, and Rand is like, test these guys. They think they can do it. And he starts alone building an army of channelers. And Rand kind of
picture like
him
the start of the Sandlot. Right. Three dudes standing around in like a half junkyard area kicking dirt.
Playing catch with a rock, you know. But the problem is that now you've got yeah. Now you've got him alone in a position of authority over impressionable people with no advisors, no help from anybody, and Rand just going, this is what I need you to do. He's like, fine, you want me to do that? I'll do that. It's the perfect storm. It's not necessarily anything other than,
it's a good movie.
You're asking for corruption within the Black Tower. If Taim were to be saved, or if Taim were to reject the shadow and fight for the light in Tarmin Gaiden, he needed people that he trusted to keep him on the right path. Period. End of story. In my opinion.
I like that answer. I like it. Andrew, what do you think?
I am going to agree that there was a point where Taim was savable. And as much as I love our Lord Emo Reborn, I place the blame fully at his feet. Because random guy that said, you know, couple months ago, let's say 8 months ago at this point. Well, let's say 9 months ago. I'm the Dragon Reborn. Comes to you seeking amnesty. And you're like, cool. Not only will I grant you amnesty, but you're going to be in charge. And bye-bye now. I think at that point, had Rand been more involved, Taim could have seen that he had a better chance of having glory by following the true Dragon Reborn. And that would have been a bigger allure for him than seeking glory through the shadow.
Yes,
I think that was the point where he was savable. Whenever he comes to Rand and Rand does put him in charge of the farm, that was whenever Taim could have been savable. And Rand's decision to essentially say, I need troops, you're going to train them, and I'm not going to be a part of this, is what allows Taim to continue down his downward spiral path. Because he's already on that path from the start. I mean, he commits war crimes that even modern-day war criminals would be ashamed of. And seeks glory. And it's one of those kind of like, he could have had his come to the dragon moment had Rand actually paid attention.
Come to the dragon moment. I love
that. Yeah. I love that.
But Rand never does. Rand leaves him and entrusts him to do his own thing, which in the mind of somebody that's seeking out glory is going to make them feel like they are in charge. It would be like if I literally sat here and made all the decisions for the Black Tower podcast.
Yeah.
I wouldn't feel like I had to talk to you guys about any decisions we made for the podcast because, well, I always make the decisions anyway, so it's mine anyway. I do what I want. And I think it's along the same, you know, the same vein. Rand wasn't involved. He was the absent stepfather. And so Tyene was able to keep being a bad, bad boy.
Yeah, I mean, when Dad goes out to get lamps and never comes back.
Aww.
I can't believe I just nodded for that. It took me a second to get it.
Oh, Andrew, I love you so much.
I'm going to turn your monitor into a 5-inch monitor.
No!
No, don't make it that cold in here. Get it? Get it? What is that?
Fuck off. Yeah. Oh, you bastard.
Yep. Yeah, no, I like that.
You guys
that.
Are awesome.
Both of your answers are very good. I like them a lot.
And that's the thing, you know. You? Yeah, what about you? You tell us your answer. And then
Josh,
we'll
finish your thought first, and then I will have
Well, I was just going to say, one of the things we don't really talk about with Tyene is how the madness affected him, how the taint affected him. Which I believe is where you were going to go next.
Me?
Yeah.
Not specifically.
Okay.
No. So I'm glad that you brought that up because that is actually another conversation, which I would love to get into a little bit after my answer, which might touch on that a little bit.
It just made me think of the TV show. Such an epic showing from Logan.
Mm. Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
I can manage my taint.
Right.
Can you manage yours?
Fun story.
You suffer from leaky taint. Does your taint sometimes create personages that whisper in your ears?
I am learning Spanish on Duolingo so that when we get to talk to
Alvaro.
So if you
ever miss a lesson, the owl is going to murder you in your sleep.
Yeah. So if I ever talk to Alvaro, I want to express supreme gratitude to the work he's doing in Spanish because
that is his native language, even though he will absolutely understand you if you go ahead and express it.
I understand that, but
he does.
Please work on it very hard.
He's fluent in English.
American that's like, no, I know 5 words.
So
I have practiced this one phrase so that I can say it to you, Alvaro.
And here's the fun thing, though. I'm a machine, and I've got cats.
One of the best phrases I ever learned in Spanish.
This is Alvaro Muerte. Give him taint, you will have a great time.
You will have a good time. When I worked for the airlines, I would get people that would call up and I'd say, hello, my name is Josh. Thank you for calling Continental Airlines. What can I do for you today? And they'd say, oh, you speak Spanish? And this was someone asking to be transferred to the Spanish line.
Sure. Right.
My response was, lo siento, señor, no habla español. Un momento, por favor. And I would transfer them over. Now,
you have a very good ear for accents. That's actually very well done.
So I did have a lady who spoke fluent Spanish. She would take the Spanish calls. And, you know, we're sitting there. She's, lo siento, señor, no habla español. Un momento, por favor. And I transferred the guy over and she went. And she went, I'm sorry, hold on just one moment. Let me look this up for you. Hold. She looked at me and she went, you just told that guy you don't speak Spanish. Well, I don't. Clearly you do.
And you were like, no, you don't understand. No. I've memorized that phrase really well.
I know, muy poquito.
It's like, oh, you speak English. Like, no, just that sentence and this sentence explaining it.
Yeah,
right. Are you serious?
Más cerveza, una tequila, por favor. Anyway,
that was great. I love that. I'm actually going to be slightly against the other two Mihails. Who's fucking surprised? And say that I think that I actually agree with chat, and this was sort of always my answer. It was reinforced by our live recording discussion, is that I legitimately think that by the at latest, by the point where Mazrim Taim shows up to Rand and talks to him about going ahead and starting things, or, you know, taking advantage of the amnesty and then Rand offers him the ability to start everything, that he's already so far gone. I think Mazrim is a very good representation of a human being who is just too into himself, and not like the Gaston into himself, where it's just like, oh, look at my muscles, I'm fucking great. No, but like legitimately just so far up his own asshole that he just can't see anything else, because it ends up being a situation where I think that his ego would never have really been able to recover. Because before the story starts, we have Mazrim Taim up in Saldea declaring himself the Dragon Reborn. He ends up going ahead and...
It's like Loghain does in Galdea.
Yes, in Galdea.
Galdea, that's what I meant.
So we have... And actually, that I was literally going to bring that up. I think that Loghain and Mazrim are a brilliant use of two sides of the same coin. That here's Mazrim, or here's Loghain Ablar. He declares himself the Dragon Reborn in Galdea, is stupid successful there, and then gets captured by a number of Aes Sedai, gets gentled, realizes that he has made a mistake, is humbled by his entire experience, moves on from it, and does the best that he can with everything that he's given afterwards, and ends up being one of the greatest characters in the story.
Sure.
And then you have the other side of that, which is Mazrim Taim, which is the exact same origin, if you will, of in Saldea, declares himself the Dragon Reborn, gets humbled in some ways because he does lose. I mean, he doesn't take over all of Saldea. He is...
Does he lose and therein learns?
Fuck! and so his sort of dreams of being the Dragon Reborn are dashed at that point when he is captured, and when he realizes that that Rand is, you know, fulfilling more of the prophecies, that he actually has more support, that he's a stronger Tavirin, like all of these different things. But he doesn't get gentled, so he doesn't go ahead and lose his connection to the One Power. And between the time that he is captured and escapes and goes to Rand for his amnesty, he is approached by a servant of the Shadow and is offered everything he's ever wanted. And at that point, I don't think that... I absolutely take your point, Josh, that if there had been more people around him that he could have leaned on, it would have been better. And I think that it would have taken longer, and that he might have ended up at Tarmin Gaiden being very much on the fence. But there was never that support system. He was absolutely an island from the moment that he gets captured.
Sure.
Because, I mean, I love in the television show when Leandrin is like, we've taken Loghain and his army is scattered to the winds. No, they're not, because he's convinced them all very, very strongly. However, Mazrim Taim... They capture him.
Your actions have consequences.
And then, of course, you know, they capture Mazrim Taim, and his army does actually do that. They scatter to the winds because he is Rand. He's Rand Light. like his whole army is based on only him declaring himself the Dragon Reborn, and he doesn't have that moment with the King of Gael'dan, which, again, granted, in the books we never have this moment, but you feel it as far as the characterization,
beautiful moment in the show,
of Loghain, that he absolutely would have had that fucking moment, even though it doesn't happen in the books. You know, he has that moment.
I'm kicking myself for not calling who that dagger belonged to. Because I was like, man, that looks like a noble's dagger, like a king's dagger.
Well, and it had the three stars of Gael'dan, so...
But again, the difference, you know, one of the biggest difference between Loghain and Mazrim is Mazrim is very heavy handed. He says, I'm the Dragon Reborn and you will serve me, until he's not. And when it becomes clear that he's not, all of his armies fucking leave, versus Loghain, who convinces them. He wins hearts and minds. And then when he gets captured, his army goes, yeah, we should go get him back because my heart and mind is his. So, like, we should do that. And so, again, I think that at the point where he declares himself the Dragon Reborn and decides for himself that he is the dragon, there was kind of no going back. He ends up becoming, you know, second best to the actual dragon, if not third best. You know, he ends up becoming, you know, second rate to the actual dragon, and gets approached by the shadow at that point. And by the time he shows up to rant, it's already over. Andrew.
So my counter to that would be that I would expect, especially as a fantasy trope, that the character that has the harder fall from grace, the I'm the shit, I'm the best, it's me, and gets incredibly humble, would stand a better logical sense of being like, well, obviously I was fucking wrong, so I need to change the shit. Now, again, you do have the caveat there, I guess, or I'm not going to call it a caveat, but the kind of bridging factor of Loghain's, you know, anime redemption arc, second chance. Like, he gets his Ichigo saga of, you've lost all your powers, but here's your powers back, because, well, Ichigo is bullshit, but Loghain's actually makes sense. Fucking, I hate Ichigo so much. Anyway, it's fucking the most bullshit character ever made in fucking anime. Like, he's like One Punch Man, but without the irony.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's often been said that the mortar that holds the bricks of the Black Tower together is pure tangent. And I gotta say, I agree with you, Andrew. Ichigo is garbage. I'm sorry.
Oh no, hey, guess Ichigo's what? There's a fight. Hey, guess what? There's his mom was half Quincy, so he can shoot spirit arrows.
There's a technique that takes you 3,000 years to learn, but I know a shortcut, and you can learn it.
Oh, he's losing the Grimmjow, and then it's Grimmjow's like, actually far more talented and powerful. Oh, look, Orihime has massive tits. Suddenly, power level over 20,000.
Well, and then like his whole like bullshit. You know, but you can learn this technique in 3 days, but it's very dangerous. And it's like, who the fuck would not do the 3-day option?
That might if be the hottest thing.
Maybe fucking people stupid. Who don't want to die, stupid. Josh, huh?
You know what?
Fucking thought about that.
Yeah, how bad do they want it then? They could fuck right off. Anyway, I believe. So first off, here's the deal. And this is a, so follow me for a second, because this is a perfect segue. I am a huge advocate. I am a huge advocate of personal choice and personal empowerment, same. Right? It does not matter what you've been through in your past. Today is yours and yours alone.
Correct.
Period, end of story. Now, there are things that happen in your past that will influence who you are and your ability to make decisions now. Absolutely. Good things and bad things, okay?
Yeah, now, it's called socialization.
I mean,
partially. Are you nature versus nurture?
I mean, that is the word where, like, that you're the end product of who you are at any given point is a product of the environment and the circumstances of your life.
Right.
Sorry, the fucking
No. You're good. That's perfect. That's perfect.
Some
because
are born great. Some achieve greatness.
I got drunk enough. I'm pretty sure college came in me a couple times.
I mean,
I don't remember
upon
it.
Them.
No, college fucked you, but it never came in you.
There you go.
At least anyway, I have a goddamn common courtesy to pull out.
So here's the thing. You've got a scenario in which Taim is a person who's making choices, very complicated choices.
Correct.
He has goals. Okay, there is nothing wrong with being ambitious. There is nothing wrong with having goals. The problem that we have here, and we have discussed this at length, is the taint. Okay, or if for those watching who are TV show listeners, the corruption. The
they
dark ones
haven't
touch
used
upon
that word yet,
Sidene,
so it's still the taint.
I'm talking about 5 years from now when someone watches this and they go, the Black Tower podcast, they're legendary. Where did they come from? Let us see their humble beginnings. And they watch all of our
let us
old
see
episodes.
Their original taint.
All right, you've got the perfect
solid recording zero. Studios that are like immaculate down to the T's and helped, like, literally Amazon helped us design them. And then they're like, oh, where's the humble beginnings of the Black Tower?
That's right.
Because right, we like the show, and of course, we're paid off.
We've got this. Oh, well, yeah, duh. That's why we like the books.
Fucking mingy bitches.
It's not because we fucking read them and loved them. No, the,
not
but
because we fucking read them. I tell you got, what.
We've got a perfect situation here in which you've got a person who is not fully mentally healthy. Okay. People affected by the taint on Sidene are affected with a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
So
these keep using mental the M word and I keep forgetting what it's actually slang for. It's not anything terribly offensive, but yeah.
Well, okay, whatever you're supposed to call it nowadays without being offensive. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying no, that was on me. That was like an editor's note for me.
Oh, okay. But the problem is when your mind is affected in that way, it impacts your ability to make decisions. Okay. It does. It straight up does. So there's a lot of people who don't take that into account when they say, so-and-so did a really stupid thing. Okay, well, they were like in a severely traumatized place when they did that stupid thing. So maybe cut them some slack. I mean, yes, I know you have to deal with the fallout of that. Trust me, we're still dealing with Taim and his bullshit. Like, but taint plays a part
in
his journey. Okay. Could he have been saved if he was not affected by that? If the Dark One had never tainted Sidene, which I understand is
could he have
big,
run
like,
to you with open arms?
Taim may have still been ambitious. He may have still wanted just glory and blah, blah, blah. But would have absolutely been in a better place to make good decisions and may not have been as susceptible to the promises of the Forsaken. Now, that's obviously not to say that that's a guarantee, because there are still people who are perfectly sane who chose to align with the Shadow. Cool. Live your best life. If you want to be on the losing side, cool. But this is the second portion of this, is the effect that the taint had on Taim and the rest of the Ashaman, because there were also other Ashaman who willingly joined Taim.
Well, so, and I actually want to go back to that question, because I think that's actually very important and is one of the things that that affected my answer, though I will also admit not the only thing. And that is, for a man who can channel, how much of a draw is it to not go mad? Because when it comes right down to it, I think that that's
draw.
One of,
are we talking like Starry Night Mona Lisa draw?
Starry
what the fuck
Night
is with
Mona
me tonight?
Lisa.
These shitty fucking dad. Oh god,
those are
I'm
great.
Sorry,
I like it.
Andrew, did something happen?
I fucking hope not.
But no, that's actually one of the reasons that I think that he was actually gone by the time that he comes to Rand, because in my view of the sort of not on the page, you have to read into it, who actually really knows, you know, between the lines events. I would actually venture a strong guess that by the time Rand shows, or sorry, that Mazrim shows up to Rand, he's actually already been given a pass, a shield, a whatever it is that keeps the Forsaken from going mad, using Sidin kind of like buffer. And that's huge. I don't know what happened to him and how mad he was or what his madness took the form of before he actually
your firewall is now active.
Right? Meets with the Forsaken. But I actually am pretty sure that by the time he actually met with whoever he met with, again, if I'm being completely honest, probably Osengar, that the madness was no longer a thing for him after that meeting. That was part of the bargain that was struck in so many ways was,
oh yeah,
you will not go mad because I am going to give you a shield from this. And then in the last battle, guess what? You're fighting on the side of the shadow because we're protecting you from the madness. It's that easy. Like,
that is easily one of the greatest recruiting tools of the shadow. Because every man who can channel is suffering under the taint and under the influence of the taint. Like, it is unpleasant. It's not. And if you were just to walk up to someone who had some sort of, you know, mental illness, like, and just said, hey, if you be on my side, I can take that from you. Like, who wouldn't immediately say yes?
I mean, depends on the offer, obviously, but at the same time, if you're constantly in pain, it's a pretty, like, your bar raises so, or lowers very low to what it is that you will agree to based on the fact that they will take away this agony from you. No, I completely agree.
All right, break in, Benjamin.
Well, and I also will say that again, that is one of the things that is interesting. I think that there was a point where I'm not going to go fully back on my answer earlier, because I still very much strongly believe in it. But when Rand cleanses Sidin, I think that is the point where they might have been able to go and get through to Taim. Maybe. Because again, I have a very, very, very strong feeling that the madness and the taint was one of the reasons that he went over to the shadow. And now that the taint is gone, that might have been the one opportunity they had to bring Mazrim back from the brink. And nobody even checked in with him. Like, nobody
had one chance.
I can see that.
One opportunity in a lifetime. Would you seize it
or just let it slip?
If someone doesn't do that for the Watt parody contest, I will be so upset. Do a full on like sighting rap.
In the moment.
No, I
mom's
spaghetti. I do have to say, and it was alluded to in the chat here, that it was probably Demandred that
was it Aludra team.
And I got to say, I agree to that.
I'm going to start have to call people because I swear somebody's like fucking pregnant right now.
I was about to Jesus say, Christ. do we need to mute Andrew for the rest of the night until he can get a pregnancy test?
No.
why would I get a pregnancy test?
I'm just saying.
Shit, guys. I just pissed on a stick. I'm pregnant.
No. The thing is I think Dashiva was there. /Osengar/Aganor. I think he was there without the knowledge of the rest of the Forsaken.
So many of them are in places without the knowledge of the other.
They're hiding.
So yeah.
They're all hiding. Yeah. So I'm gonna say I think it was someone else because I mean it's the obvious play. It's the sure. obvious, like, oh, hi, I'm a Forsaken and I serve the great Lord. And there's someone who is literally recruiting male channelers. I could literally be the one who brings thousands of dreadlords to the side of the shadow. It wouldn't surprise me if he was courted by like five different Forsaken.
Sure.
They all want him.
Though,
which again, is another reason why he thinks he could be like... Nate Bliss, because he thinks he's hot shit.
Right. Though men I will want also him. Say,
women think... hate him. Learn these top 10 secrets to become irresistible to the shadow.
Forsaken hate him. Anyway, it's a whole thing. Jesus.
Yes.
Anyway, I think it's about time to wrap this episode up. Josh,
we've gone about as far as we can go.
Josh, go ahead and give us your sort of final thoughts on this topic and time okay. in general. I know that this isn't actually like a background breakdown or anything, but just, you know, what are your final thoughts on this?
So
my final thoughts in general.
My final thoughts, and I'm going to be a bit serious here for a moment, because we've discussed this at the Black Tower numerous times. And I know that, you know, all of us really like to hide behind humor and we like to cope with humor, but the truth
of the only one that just like suddenly started feeling like a panicky, vulnerable kind of vibe.
No.
Okay.
But you're good. Thanks for calling me out.
You're
like
good.
That.
You're good. Both of you. I love you both. but here's the thing. The reason we love these stories is because they resonate with us on a real level. Mazrim Taim is a man. He woke up one morning and realized he could do extraordinary things.
Power of voodoo.
And had
voodoo? You do?
And he had the ability to do amazing things. And he had ambition to fill that ability. And as a result, was plagued with all manner of challenges. And who can't resonate with that? Who can't wake up and say, I want to go to the gym? Who can't wake up and say, I want to do good at work today? Who can't wake up and say, I'm going to fight for that promotion? And then what happens? You're too tired to go to the gym. God, you're in pain. You don't want to go to the gym. God, it sucks. You go for that promotion. You work your ass off to get that promotion and you get passed over. You decide you're going to have a happy day, and for no reason at all, you feel sad or depressed or anxious, and it just sucks.
And 5 minutes in, you get a shit ass customer who just ruins everything about your good.
The point.
You work in my office?
All the biggest.
No, but we all work.
I know I just talked to you 30 minutes ago, but I wanted to call again to see if my computer is like ready with the last 30 minutes. Sorry, I told you it was going to take 2 days.
The biggest piece of this here is that when you are having these kinds of challenges, when you are going through these terrible times, you need to have people you trust who will help keep you on the right path. You need to have people in your life. I'm not saying go out and make a million friends and be a social butterfly. Many of us are introverted. Many of us don't need all that or don't want all that. But have some people you can call on. Have some people who can be there for you in your dark times, because that's what's going to make the difference between ending your story as Randall Thor or ending your story as Mazrim Taim. And I want you guys to know, all of you listeners here to know, the Black Tower protects always. We're here. We have a Discord full of people who are members of the Black Tower, who are willing to stand, who are willing to protect, willing to listen, and willing to be there for you. So if at any time you need anything, please shoot us a message. You son of a bitch. But seriously.
Oh, you know, just hiding behind humor.
and you know, there's I'm going to wrap it up with this. There's a saying that the Disney villains were just princesses that didn't get rescued.
Fucking
as soon as you said
preach.
Disney, why did I fully expect the energy to be like, God damn it, yes.
That preach, Jesus. That was so good. Andrew, what do you think?
I mean, how do you fucking follow that? I mean,
sorry.
The easy way to follow it is to call out. Yeah, well, I'm gonna fucking fail on at least one of those.
Bullshit. You've got both. Let's go.
I mean, the harsh reality of things, and I think it's things that like that we can use characters like Tam and a lot of Rand and all this other stuff, because when we talk about like madness and like and all this other, which is an allegory, if not a direct comparison to male mental illness, nobody ever cares about Rand getting better, except for three people, the Dragon Riders. Everybody else is like, can he hold it together long enough? So they don't actually care about Rand and his mental state and his emotional state. They care about him surviving long enough to accomplish what they want and need for themselves. Because the harsh reality of male mental health and illness is that nobody gives a fuck. Except for other guys that are going through it. And I mean, yes, it's a gross generalization. There are plenty of people that actually do care. But statistically speaking, it at least appears and is publicized as an insignificant amount of people.
Yes.
So using stories like The Wheel of Time that so many people love and the instances that happen in The Wheel of Time as allegories for male mental illness, and I can definitely see Robert Jordan fully intending that, being a military veteran, being a combat veteran. You're not a helicopter gunner in Vietnam and not coming back without some issues. It's not happening. And so seeing characters like Team that is an allegory for or an example of those people that have these problems, that have these issues, whatever the issue is, whether it's an overinflated sense of self-ego, whether it's just a shitty upbringing or just being stuck with a shitty hand that you were dealt with at birth, and seeing what happens to Taim, who doesn't get a second chance, who has no support system, whose demons entrance him into a place where he ultimately loses, versus somebody like Loghain or Rand that do get second chances, that do have a support network, that do try to do all this stuff. It takes a discussion from this kind of, you know, fun, like, could they have been saved kind of thing to, especially for us, a very real place. And it's unfortunately not a real place that most people even want to acknowledge exists. So I actually love the character of Taim. I think he's an incredibly entrancing character, an incredibly interesting character. I think his story is one of the more interesting to follow. I will fully acknowledge that I resonate a lot more with the male characters because I am male, and a lot of the shit that the male Chandlers go through are stuff that I've dealt with them in one way, shape, or form or another, or something similar, or something to that. Mm-hmm. It's part of the reason that we do the Vets Discuss.
So say we all.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Sorry, it's one of the reasons that you do the Vets Discuss, because I actually really think that's super important. I was really happy when I saw that channel pop up and that you guys are actually doing things with it, because I think it's, again, as you said, it is sort of with a broad brush. Not every person who has seen combat comes back with PTSD. Not every person who comes back from war has the same mental anything. But at the same time, I do think that's super important. I think that what you're doing over at Vets Discuss, what, you know, other veterans are doing with talking through things, and when the VA actually gets its act together, you know, what they're doing for people who have seen some shit. We know some things because we've seen them sometimes. is super important. So I, as someone who doesn't actually know what it's like, but sees the effects, I super applaud what you guys are doing.
Oh, well, thanks. So for those of you listening live, we'll be doing the next Vets Discuss this coming Friday, December 3rd at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Fantastic.
Just since we're talking about that. But yeah, final thoughts. Because I honestly, half of that was just piggybacking off of as much every vet just got fucking triggered.
Mm-hmm.
off of kind of like what Josh was talking about. I mean, it's a good example. I think it's a fantastic way to look at it. And it's a way that I think most people can resonate with, because you don't have to be like a military vet to get how, you know, if your life is in a good space and you have good friends and a good support structure, and you have those people that you know that if like shit is going seriously downhill and you need to call somebody right now, you have those people, then you're going the same track as Rand. You're going the same track as Logan. And most people have gotten second chances one way, shape, or form. And a lot of those same people understand what it feels like to be on the time track, to feel like you don't have a second chance, to feel like you don't have anybody that gives a shit, that you have anybody that's going to be able to be there and be like, hey, maybe graffitiing the local police station isn't the best idea for your like safety and health, you know, maybe. You know, shit like that. So, yeah, and I will always exploit any opportunity I can to tie the Wheel of Time back to male mental health, because mental health itself is something that doesn't get enough attention and discussion, and it's even more needed in current times with like all the lockdowns and pandemic, but especially male mental health. But Time is a captivating character. I think he could have been saved, but ultimately I think it did work more in the pattern's favor that he wasn't. But anyway, mm-hmm. Daniel, your final thoughts.
No, I agree with both of you. I mean, again, I've never been in combat. I've never done things like that. So I can't necessarily speak to. Sorry, I apologize.
But you're not been fine. In the military. It's just a clarification that I have to make.
Totally fair. Fair. I've not been in the military, so I don't know, you know, that side of it, but I have seen too many things of, if you don't tie the Wheel of Time to mental health in general, and more so male mental health than anything else, I don't think you're reading the same story as me. I definitely think that you missed a whole section of the Wheel of Time if you don't do that. And I really think that Taim is a sad story. That's really what it comes down to. Is
very
that
sad, yes.
Even with my answer of and still being very sort of, you know, on board with my answer of, by the time we actually see him show up in the story, he's unsavable. That doesn't mean he never was. That doesn't mean that there wasn't a lot of shit that happened to get him to that point. And I really wish, for Taim's sake, that he could have actually had those things. Now, obviously, for the story, I do actually like Taim as he was. For the story, I really do like the dichotomy between Logan and Taim. I think those are actually... I think that's an incredibly well-written couple of characters that end up being almost the same origin story and yet such a different outcome. And I think it really does, again, bring more back to be... absent fathers are really fucking bad. And I like, not to call anybody out or do whatever, but like, Jesus, Rand, don't go out to get smokes and never come back to the Black Tower. Please pay attention to your kids. Please pay attention Daddy. To your friends. Please pay attention to everything. If you have made any kind of commitment to someone, follow through. Because, like, as I said, I legitimately think that once Sidene was cleansed, Rand could have saved Taim. But he doesn't do it.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm God sorry.
It, no, I know. Shoddy. I know.
Fucking,
I'm aware.
Fucking more shoddy.
I'm fully aware.
So since we've had this conversation, anyway. If anybody that's watching or listening to this, if you're on that verge of that precipice of what's the term to use?
Just if we're gonna say
not returning to the Black Tower.
Sure.
And the first age might be known as unaliving. Definitely call the prevention hotline 1-800-273-8255 for those of you in the US. Most nations do have a national helpline for that.
Absolutely.
If you even think that you might be on the precipice of that, if nothing else, they're going to be able to get you at least pointed in the direction for some kind of help. So there's no shame in it. There's no emasculation in it. There's no effeminization, defeminization, whatever gender you are. There's nothing that is
there's nothing wrong with it.
No.
Yeah.
In any way, shape, or form.
Don't be like me, where it took like six coworkers and other stuff to finally actually sit there and be like, yeah, I might be a little fucked up. Just fucking call. Just do it. Like, the hardest part is making the first call.
And also, worst case scenario, start a podcast. Right? I will absolutely say, without a doubt, we love content creators in general. And if there are more of them, that's okay. Let's just do whatever you need to do. Don't be a Mazarin, be a Loghain. In a world full of Leandrins, be a Karine.
Strive to be a Karine.
Yes.
And not like having your guts rearranged.
Oh yeah.
I was about to say, except for the death part.
Actually, I don't know.
Like, in the positive sense of that, sure.
By all if means. You're the kind of Karine that wants to get your guts just realigned by a BBW, also known as a big black weave.
All right. We're adding them. We got the BDE. We got the BBW. Mm.
Yeah, it's off the chain here at the Black Tower. Seriously, if please, in a world full of Leandrins, in a world full of Mazarims, be a Karine, be a Loghain, because we want to see everybody, whether you're a listener or not. I'm just going to put this out into the world. Whether you're a listener or not, we want you to make it to whatever it is that gets you through this.
Exactly.
And
so in happier notes, you can't
do that if you're gone before you hit that point. So please, please, we fucking love you guys. Whether you're listening right now, whether you're listening live, whether you're listening recorded, whether you're not listening, but you feel me say this somewhere out there, please, we are the Black Tower and we want you to make it. The Black Tower protects.
After you eat Taco Bell and your butthole starts to quake and quiver, that's the Black Tower saying, don't be afraid.
Yes. So please get there, and we will be with you every step of the way, whether you know it or not. We will be with you.
Yeah. And if the Wheel of Time is kind of one of your escapes from reality, it's kind of one of those things that helps bring you back down to earth and calm down and forget about all the things that feel like they're plaguing you in life. If you've already finished episodes of ours and you need more content, more escapes, more stuff like that, check out thegreatblight.com. Yes, C-L-O-M. .com. And you can find a myriad of other Wheel of Time oriented content creators so that you can listen to, watch, engage with, listen to their music. All this kind of fantastic stuff is right there on thegreatblight.com. Now, if you want to come and meet some people in person, everybody already knows about JordanCon.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely come to JordanCon. It's dope. It's an homage. You gotta make it there. But if you can't, there is another fantastic convention. It is called WattCon. Go to WattCon.com and follow WattCon Official on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok, all the social medias. Go and check it out. Get your tickets, get your rooms, show up. It is a Wheel of Time focused convention that is made by fans for fans. It's going to be epic. And I'm not just saying that because I'm part of the planning. Well, we're all part of the planning staff here at Black Tower Podcast. But it's going to be incredible. There's already some very publicly known epic guests we're going to have. Daniel B. Green is going to be there as a guest. Kate Reading and Michael Kramer are going to be there in the flesh.
Ooh. I believe. Damn. Nice.
Wait. Do you need to verify that claim? Our Facebook fact checkers going to put a little pop-up notice on our recording now?
I'm pretty sure they're definitely going to be there. I can't confirm somebody else, but I know somebody else that you're going to want to talk to that is in the works.
All right, then.
And I'm going to leave that little tainty teaser snail trail out there.
Are you going to tease your taint? Tease the taints out there?
Yeah. Yes, my taint will make an appearance at WattCon, and I will subsequently be fired as director of people after it makes an appearance.
I believe I am epic. Also planning on being at WattCon. I don't know.
Bullshit.
Oh, but sorry.
Honestly, it's awesome. It's epic. And if nothing else convinces you that a ton of other Wheel of Time fans are super excited for it and are trying to work and make this happen, there was a GoFundMe that was started for WattCon and it was crushed. Like, not just met, crushed
day within 9 hours.
Hours it met its goal.
And it's still, very small, people are still donating.
Days it beat its full stretch goal potential.
Yep.
And it's still going. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, come out. It's in Columbus, Ohio, July 8th through the 10th. WattCon.com has where you can get your tickets and everything. You can get hotel information, all that fantastic stuff. It is one of the few conventions that I'm aware of that actually include food and ticket prices. So that's a pretty cool thing. So go and check it out. See if you can make it. We'd love to have you there. But other than that, go and check out New Creations by Jen. It's a fantastic place where you can get a ton of Wheel of Time inspired merch, and a ton of your favorite content creators have merchandise there through New Creations by Jen. Go and check them out. Jen and Rob from Weekly News, fantastic folks. They do amazing work. Go and get some stuff from there, or at least, I don't know, like, hey, I can't get anything right now, but love you guys. You do amazing work. Black Tower Podcast told me to tell me this at, you know, risk of drinking a barrel of special wine, whatever you have to say.
And grab yourself a frosty mug. Again, I know that not everybody can afford everything, and agreed with Andrew, if you can't, still say hi, but get yourself a frosty mug. If you have one of ours, go grab another content creators. It's fucking awesome. To help support friends, help support family, help support whatever. They're great over at New Creations by Jen. Holy shit, the number of fucking brilliant TikToks I've seen from Weekly Wheel News. Rob is brilliant. So go over and check them out, because they're great people. And pick yourself up a frosty mug, because I still use those so hard. They're so good.
So thank you all for being here. Thank you all for tuning in. You know, it doesn't happen very often at the Black Tower, but we do like to make sure that we take some subjects very seriously, and mental health is one of those. So please, I just want to reiterate, if there are thoughts, if you're having thoughts of self-harm or harm,
like Avienda,
please,
thoughts,
please reach out to someone. It doesn't matter who, reach out to anybody.
Yes.
Make sure that you're here to see another day, because we want you here.
The you have to sun exist. Will come out.
Thank you for tuning
tomorrow.
In. Thank you for being here. We are the Black Tower Podcast. We absolutely love you. We are absolutely excited, ecstatic, and amazed at the things that have happened and are absolutely looking forward to the things that will happen. You know, in 1990, The Eye of the World was written. It was not the beginning. It was a beginning. And just a couple weeks ago, we had episode one of the Wheel of Time TV show. And it was not the beginning. It was a beginning. And guys, there are so many more beginnings yet to come. So make sure you're here for them. From all of us at the Black Tower, we love you. Thank you. I have been your Sword of Unmahail, Josh.
And I have been your Bijan Mahail, Andrew.
And I have been your Amon Khan Mahail, Daniel. And we hope that everyone here is having a wonderful mental health day, a wonderful mental health morning. And even if you aren't, it will get better. And in case we don't see you again, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.